Angeles, we've been discussing the fact that immigrant raids are continuing, immigrant detention centers continue to operate during the coronavirus pandemic. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, find our audio podcast on iTunes, and also Spotify.
Rising Up with Sonali is hosted, written, and executive produced by Sonali Kolhatkar. Anna Buss is the producer, technical director, and web and social media supervisor. Our theme music is by Grammy Award-winning band Gets Up. Like us on facebook.com/RU with Sonali. That's the letters RU with Sonali. And follow us on twitter.com/RU with Sonali. Our website is risingupwithsonali.com, where you can find all our programs archived and where you can get direct access to all our video and audio files.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 7 o'clock. Coming up next here in the 7 o'clock hour is The Struggle with your host, Alyssa Pariah. KBOO Community Radio is currently closed to all in-station volunteer and visitor activity for the next 30 days due to the pandemic effective March 13th, which means that all in-station classes and meetings are canceled for this month. But our Board of Directors meeting, which is held on the fourth Monday of each month, will still be held remotely. Check out our website at kboo.fm for more information on where you can find the Zoom link in order to attend our monthly Board of Directors meeting on the fourth Monday of this month.
Thank you.
You're tuned in KBOO Community Radio. We have a quick programming change. Right now we're going to have Hard Knock Radio right here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
This is Danny Glover, and I want you to listen to what I listen to, Hard Knock Radio.
This is Cynthia McKinney, and you're listening to Hard Knock Radio.
This is Bobby Seale here. I'm the former chairman, founder, and the old national organizer of the Black Panther Party. The Black Panther Party is a political revolutionary organization out of the 1960s. This is Hard Knock Radio. I love Hard Knock Radio. Coming here and listening to this framework here, it's what's happening. You got to be tuned in. And I want all people who dig Hard Knock to understand that you can do some Hard Knock work out there in the community, too.
All right, brothers and sisters, this is Trent Willis again, president of the International Longshore and Warehouse Union, Local 10. Like I said earlier, I will be getting back to my brothers and sisters and also the community about this developing situation over here at Pier 22 in Oakland regarding the Grand Princess ship. Apparently, since the longshoremen were not going to disembark trash, contaminated trash from this ship and let them truck it out to the community, they have brought in an alternate workforce to do it out here right now. Even after port representatives for the Port of Oakland and the Pacific Maritime Association, the Longshoremen's Union, and various community groups have expressed that we did not want this to happen. We did not want this trash discharged onto our docks and trucked through our community, putting our citizens at risk. Apparently there's an effort to do it anyway. So I'm getting on here and I'm letting all of our brothers and sisters know that this is going on right now. This is a damn shame. I think that everybody should know. Feel free to share this video. We're out here right now. Let me turn my video around here so you can see what's happening. All right, this is the Grand Princess. Okay, earlier today, all of the longshoremen were cut loose, told that they were finished work. And then over here, I know you can probably barely see it. You got this truck over here. It says NCRS. I think that's what it says. And then you got over here, you see those orange containers for the trash. And they plan on offloading this trash onto the dock in those containers. And trucking it through our community, which we explicitly agreed with the employers, the Grand Princess, and also Metro, that this was not going to happen. Okay, it's very interesting. You see these bathroom facilities here. Okay, you see those workers there. They've been cleaning those bathrooms pretty much after every person has gone in and come out. We've been requesting from our employers that we want our facilities on all of the docks treated like this one. And they've been refusing to do it. But that's another story. Right now, this is an emergency situation. They're going against the wishes of the Port of Oakland. The lease agreement that was made with the Port of Oakland for the Grand Princess to even be here and offloading specifically said that the dumping of trash would be done on the offshore side of the ship onto a barge, and the trash be taken to a facility where it can be controlled and incinerated. This operation that is attempting to be done now is not what the agreement was. It was explicit that this trash was not supposed to be dumped anywhere in this community, not supposed to even be discharged from this ship. Okay, and I'm walking over here. Okay, this company is called NRC Environmental Services, Emergency Response Unit. Okay, and these are the trash bins that they got on the back of this flatbed truck here. Okay, we need you to please share this video to everyone in your friend group. This is not just a longshoreman's issue. This is not just the ILWU's issue. This is an issue for the whole community. Okay, it was already bad enough that this ship was brought to the port of Oakland, but then you want to dump your trash here. Okay, and I'm going to make sure I let everybody know what's happening. Okay, NRC Environmental Services. Okay, and I thought it was weird that all of a sudden, all of the longshoremen were told that it was time for us to leave, because they knew that we weren't going to offload the trash. So they sent us all home, and then they brought an outside company in here to do it. Okay, and I made sure that I let them know it didn't matter who offloaded the trash. We didn't want this trash offloaded on this dock and being trucked through our community. Okay, it seems that even after the meeting with PMA the other day, it seems that our safety is not a concern. Okay, they're only concerned with profits, not even concerned about the community.
Davey D, Hard Knock Radio, hanging out with you this afternoon. The voice you heard is that of Trent Willis. He's the president of the ILWU that is here, Local 10, the longshoremen. And if you get a chance to see the video, which has been widely circulated, has over almost 30,000 views, he's showing us what is happening on the docks. He's right up close and personal with the Grand Princess. He's showing us that there's an alternative workforce there that are loading up trash and basically trucking it through the city. And the longshoremen have taken a strong position to not participate in something that they see as a health hazard, not just for their workers, but for the community in general. Joining us on the phone line is Trent Willis. And Trent, first of all, let's talk about what we saw in this video and where things stand now. This was very disturbing. And as I noted, people all over the country have seen this and are rightfully upset.
Yes. Well, yesterday, just to give you a little background, what was going on March 5th, we had a labor relations committee meeting with the employers and Metropolitan Stevedoring Company, who was responsible for providing the stevedoring services for the Grand Princess cruise ship. And we were, we had an extensive talk about how the operation would proceed safely as possible for the longshore personnel that was out there, ILWU Local 10 union members who were performing the work, which was basically to discharge baggage and to load stores and food and supplies for the crew members as well as the passengers who were still aboard the ship at the time. We also had a discussion, since this was not a traditional cruise ship terminal. Berth 22 is not a traditional cruise ship terminal. Usually the cruise ships are worked at in San Francisco, Pier 27 and Pier 35. So we had a specific concern about how the trash would be disembarked from the ship. And there was an agreement made that the trash would be disembarked on the offshore side of the ship via barge and taken away to a control facility where it would be incinerated. It's what we thought was going to happen. And the reason we were so particular about the trash is because there's so much unknown about the coronavirus in itself that we didn't want to have possible exposure for our members while handling the trash. And we also didn't want them to disembark the trash on the dockside and truck it out of the terminal into the community for threat that it can expose members of the community. With that said, throughout the week, the ship was there for approximately 6 days. So we kept revisiting the discussion about the trash because it was an inconvenience for the Grand Princess. So management for Grand Princess kept trying to make an adjustment to our agreement and disembark the trash on the dockside and truck it.
Let me ask you this, Trent. When you said they said it's an inconvenience, meaning that the Grand Princess, which is ground zero for, you know, these 21 coronavirus cases, at least that's what was initially talked about. They said it was an inconvenience for them to have trash on the ship, so they wanted to have it shipped through, you know, trucked through Oakland.
Well, let me correct what I'm saying. They didn't say it was an inconvenience, but they behaved as though it was an inconvenience, and they acted like they were under all of this pressure to get the ship out and get it away from Berth 22. So they wanted to speed up the operation by disembarking the trash on the dockside and trucking it somewhere instead of handling the trash like we agreed to handle the trash and, you know, dumping on a barge. And there was all kind of discussions about that. We were told that the barge was not operating properly. We were told that they were using some type of boat that broke down. We were told all kind of different stories. We were even told that that Governor Newsom was putting pressure on them to get the ship out of Oakland. And none of these things that they were telling us was verified. What I believe is I think they were under time constraints of their own making, that they wanted to speed up the operation, so they wanted to change the agreement that we made. And our position was, not only did we make that agreement for the protection of the Local 10 members who were performing the work, but we made that agreement for the protection of the community. And we did not want the possibly infected, contaminated trash coming from that ship being dumped somewhere in Oakland or any other surrounding cities. So we took a stand, and I specifically made sure that our employers and the Grand Princess understood that the longshoremen would not be disembarking any trash on the dockside of that ship. And also that if another entity if there was an attempt to use another entity to do it, that we would organize with the public, and we would definitely be on the side of the public in regards to that attempt to dump that trash somewhere in our community.
Trent Willis, let me ask you this. First, the ship has been there for 6-7 days in Oakland and in West Oakland, and many people have been concerned that we don't know what has been coming out of that ship, because the virus is not just touching or being near somebody, it's airborne. And so we don't know what's going on with that ship and what sort of winds are traveling. First, did they address that issue and the length of time that it's been there? And second, How have you guys as longshoremen been dealing with that? I know when you saw the video, you were, you know, feet away from the ship itself. So how have you guys been allowed to protect yourselves and assure that you all aren't getting any sort of airborne virus that could lead to heaven knows what?
Well, first off, to address that, during that meeting that I told you about on March 5th, the original meeting that we had, we had a representative from the CDC there. We had a representative from the Federal Health and Human Services Department and a representative from the Alameda County Health Department. We were allowed to ask a series of questions to those representatives, which we were told that the coronavirus is not an airborne virus, first off. And we were without going into detail, we were given a lot of information on different ways that you would be, what's the word I'm looking for here? You would be in danger of contracting the disease. We were told that the disease is contracted by droplings, and that's from touching, say, something that a infected person touched, and then either touching your face or your eyes, your nose, or your mouth, the same way you would contract a regular common cold. And with that said, the provisions that we put in place for our longshore members was to basically cover their whole bodies with suits. They're called Trivex suits. And I know you've seen them probably on TV. They're the white suits that have the foot boots attached to them, along with the hoodies. And we also had protective eye gear, and we had dust masks to cover our nose and mouth, along with gloves. Now, the part of the ship you saw me in the video, I was absolutely away from any type of operation. I was absolutely away from any type of operation where I would be exposed to any form of the virus.
Let me ask you this also. You talked about this, you contextualized this scenario with the plight of other workers. There's another video, we didn't play the audio from that, but you brilliantly talked about this is bigger than the longshoremen's, it's bigger than ILWU, and you made this very brilliant connection to what workers in general are dealing with. Can you explain to our listeners why this should be a concern and why we should see it the way that you presented it?
Well, and this is my personal opinion, but I understand that I'm a representative of Local 10, but a lot of our members feel the same way I do. I think this is a glaring situation where we can see how vulnerable poor people are in this country as a whole. But when you have a pandemic like this, it exposes that. Poor people are at risk. Working people are at risk. The richer you are, the more chances that you will be tested for the coronavirus, that you will receive proper medical care. Working people are being put in positions that could possibly lead to contracting this virus, because our companies in this country are more you know, about making profits than they are about protecting the lives of their workers, and that's basically what I was saying there. And this is just another example that all of the battles that we had out there when it concerns this Grand Princess ship, that it just glared. You know, it doesn't really matter whether it's the coronavirus or any type of danger. The employers are always going to put profits over people's lives. I mean, I guess that's part of the capitalist system. You know, so I was basically trying to make that point.
You know, it's interesting when you mention that, because here we know we have the headline news of Rudy Gobert and the other brother on the Jazz and the NBA players and Tom Hanks and now actor Idris Elba and all sorts of celebrities who managed to get tested. And meanwhile, I have neighbors that have been coughing and sneezing and wheezing and have, you know, illnesses where they've gone to the hospital and been told, no, we can't test you. Have you guys as longshoremen having to deal with the Grand Princes, have they been able to test you? Have you been afforded that? And is this kind of connected to this whole thing about, you know, certain classes of people are having access while the rest of us are kind of left on our own?
Well, absolutely. And it also glares when you look at the conditions of the ship crew. We also demanded to know how the ship crew was doing. The ship crew was made up of various foreigners that weren't U.S. citizens. I'm not sure what countries they were from, but I know for a fact that there were a lot of Filipino ship crew members. I know for a fact that the ship crew members was made up of people from other countries that were poor. And the not only do we believe that they weren't provided the proper medical care, but those ship crew members weren't even allowed to contact outside persons to even tell their stories. Right now, the ship is anchored out at bay, and there are 400 remaining ship crewmen aboard right now that we don't know if they're receiving proper medical care. We seriously doubt that they're being tested. The ship crewmen that were disembarked from the ship weren't being tested. We have longshore members, or excuse me, Local 10 members that have been to the hospital, and as you know, we fought and were successful to receive very good medical coverage, and our members are going to the hospital and being denied testing. Our employers are I don't know how much control they have over it, but we've been denied testing from our employers. I haven't been able to be tested. I'm the president of Local 10, you know, so it's definitely glares as a class struggle. There's a continuous class struggle that goes on in this country. The middle class has been virtually eliminated, and there's rich and poor. The rich benefit from services that should be awarded to poorer people. Okay, you have we could take socialism, for example. You hear all of the Republicans now hollering about, oh, we're not going to have any socialism. There's no socialism. But socialism was just fine when you went to bail out all of the big corporations after the stock market fell in 2008. It was just fine. You know, it was just fine to bail out J.P. Morgan. You know, but when you come to a situation like this, okay, socialism is not okay to provide poor people with basic human services. Basic humanity is not okay in this country. It's called socialism, and that's wrong. You know, and the ILWU has always been a union that has stood for human rights and justice for workers, not just workers, but for all people, in particular poor people. That's why we fight so hard for our conditions. We fight so hard for our hourly pay. We're always getting challenged by the employers and billionaire companies that rely on us to ship their goods. It's just a terrible, terrible thing that we accept in this country. It's definitely a time for the working man and woman, whether unionized or not, to stand up for our rights here in this country. If you wanna make the claim that capitalism works, then it has to work for everyone. It has to work for poor people. If it doesn't work for poor people, only works for rich people, then it doesn't work. You know, the wealth gap is larger than it ever has been in history now. That's a problem, because that means that you have a huge part of your population that can't afford basic human needs.
That's real talk right there. You know, Trent, I know our time is short, and I appreciate you sharing with us not just the video that we played, but also this insight that you're laying out for our listeners, not just here in the Bay, but from around the country where we're heard. What would you like our listeners to do moving forward? Are there two or three marching orders that you would give to them to help maybe change the trajectory of this current scenario?
I think that it has a lot to do with working people, and working people need to come together, band together, and make demand unions, demand basic human rights, and be willing to sacrifice to make these things happen. For example, right now we're in a battle with our employers, and this is a basic human rights battle that we're in right now because of this pandemic. We requested to have the machines and the facilities that we work sanitized and cleaned. Okay, that's not just to prevent the longshoremen from being exposed to the disease, but that's to prevent the public. Okay, because who's to say, if I wasn't the president right now, and when I'm not the president, I'm a crane operator. Okay, who's to say that I can't go to work and be exposed to the coronavirus, because all we work with is metal machines, okay? And the coronavirus lasts, I believe, what is it, 5 days on metal, 4 or 5 days? You know, it's hard to you know, to give information here now. I'm just guessing, because the information that we're getting about the coronavirus, is, you know, we don't know if it's accurate or not. But what we're hearing is that this virus can last up to 4 to 5 days on metal. Okay, that's all we work with on the waterfront is metal. Okay, so not only are we a threat to our families when we go home or leave work, we can possibly expose the public when we go into stores, restaurants, you know, when we mingle around and threat to each other. This is how viruses spread. When you're not proactive and you don't take steps to stop the virus, and we're demanding from our employers the basic human right of having the machinery that we operate sanitized, you know. So you might have another story coming at another date about that. It's just completely ridiculous to me how working people and poor people are being treated in this country. Okay? And when it comes to a pandemic like the coronavirus, you see glaring examples of it, you know, and that's just how it's affecting longshoremen right now.
What's the name of the employer?
The Pacific Maritime Association.
Pacific Maritime Association.
Yeah, the Pacific Maritime Association, and the Pacific Maritime Association is a representative of the shippers and the stevedores that we work for. For example, we basically work three terminals in the Oakland side of the Bay port, and that's Stevedoring Services of America, SSA. Okay, we work at TrayPac, that's another container handling company, and we work for Everport, and also Metro, which is the stevedoring company that we were dealing with the Grand Princess. Okay, and all of those companies are members of PMA, which is Pacific Maritime Association. That way we only have to deal with one entity as opposed to all of these separate shippers and stevedoring companies.
Well, you know, we appreciate you taking time out. People should definitely remember the names. They should hit up as many people as they can who can pull these levers of power and change the direction. The fact that you all are on the front line of dealing with stuff that's coming into the country, we've always said that the longshoremen and others that are unloading these ships are the first line of quote-unquote defense if there's something contaminated. You're the ones that are supposed to ring the alarm and alert us. And in this case, we have a ship that is docked.
Yeah, and if I can make one more point for another danger. You notice how there's a shortage of toilet paper, for example, in all of the stores right now?
Yes.
Just think if one longshoreman goes to work and contracts the coronavirus and spreads it to multiple longshoremen and it starts spreading throughout the union hall and throughout the longshore workforce, and we have to shut the port down. Just think of the effect that would have on the citizens in the Bay Area when they have to go to the stores and purchase basic human products that you need to for your daily life every day. Okay, these are things that I think about. These are things that our membership thinks about. You if the port is shut down, you will go to the store and all of the shelves will be empty. Okay, the stores would run out of products. Okay, restaurants would have to close down. That would cause a very negative effect on basic daily human life. Okay, and we're trying to tell our employers to be proactive to make sure that scenarios like that do not take place, and then they are just not listening to us. You know, so then when the public sees the longshoreman make some drastic move, like stand by on safety, shut the port down or something like that, they need to know why we're doing that. We're not just looking out for ourselves. We're looking out for the general public and our families.
Right, and we don't want you all handling something that you're passing this contamination on if one of y'all were to contract it, and keeping in mind, y'all not able to get tested. And we should all take pause for that. They are not able to get tested. Again, let's repeat that. They are not able to get tested. Yet we have actors and actresses and athletes that are being tested, and we want to, and I mean, that's good. I'm glad that they get tested. But just understand this scenario, because right now, you know, I like Rudy Gobert and all those guys, but they're not the ones shipping my food and necessities into these stores that I got to buy it from. It's you, and I want to make sure that you all are safe.
Right, right. So working people definitely need to be on the rise. We need to put aside all of our petty differences. We need to put aside all of our arguments. We need to put aside all types of racism, any type of division, and we need to band together as a people. We need to fight against injustice and inhumanity. That's what the Longshore Union stands for, and that's why I'm proud to be a member of the ILWU.
Well, there you go. That's the voice of Trent Willis, president of ILWU Local 10. We appreciate you sharing with us. We encourage people to type in your name on YouTube, hear what you have to say in the meetings, and to look out for the video where you can actually see what we played earlier. So Trent, thank you so much, and we'll be in touch.
Okay, and make sure you tell your listeners to contact any elected officials that they may have ability to contact to check on the condition of those crew members that are out in the bay right now. There are 400 crew members on that ship that we don't know what the health level of those crew members are.
We will definitely do that. We're going to take a break on Hard Knock Radio. We'll be right back.
Yo, check this out. Hard Knock Radio coming at you, bringing the noise. This is Chuck D, Public Enemy number one, news, views, and hip-hop, so you keep it locked.
I'm Eddie Zane.
And I'm Helen Zia.
And we are on Hard Knock Radio. I just want to say peace and blessings upon everybody. This is Michelle and Dege Ocello, and trying to have a peaceful journey on Hard Knock Radio. She gotta listen to me.
She got a list of her needs. I got convenient amnesia. She always threatened to leave, but that ain't no threat to me, bruh. Lost in the blessings I see. Last week my nephew was buying a Libra. That was a blessing from Eva Nicole. Now every time when I see, bruh, I want a big family with a hand on your knee, other hand on the feet. Rather we skip all the rambling and beefing. If you saw my heart, then you won't see a reason to bury the bickering, arguing, please. You were the spark, helped me conquer my demons. My heart on my sleeve till it dropped in my sneakers. Made some mistakes, but I always believe in you.
Remember, parking
December, December. When you were my lover, lover, my sweetie lover. I bow when I bow, yeah, bow when I keep to my heart, lover. If you dance, money go follow.
So and Maya,
who?
My last name is Susana. Yeah, yeah.
Farewell, Rafael. His name was Rafael Cancel Miranda, and most, I fear, hear the name, but know it not. That is regrettable, but we hope afterwards that will no longer be the case. He was a Puerto Rican nationalist who fought for the freedom and independence of the island since he was 15, when he joined the Puerto Rican Nationalist Party. During the 1950s, a small group of nationalists opened fire in the halls of the U.S. Congress. Rafael was there, along with his comrade, Lolita Lebron. They were imprisoned for decades. Early in March 2020, Rafael, at the age of 89, breathed his last. He was born in Mayagüez, Puerto Rico, on July 18, 1930. In his long life, he wrote 8 books and numerous articles. Independentistas in Puerto Rico remember Rafael Cancel Miranda in San Juan. His wife, Maria de Los Angeles Vasquez, urged supporters of Rafael and the independence movement to wave flags of Puerto Rico in his honorable memory. From Imprisoned Nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
Hard Knock Radio, East, West, North, South, conectados.
every set, every hood, barrio to barrio. Y'all stand up, stay righteous, speaking to the thugs. One love, we know where y'all at. Cop, Brown Buffalo. It's a hard knock life, gotta pay your bills. They want a song about bling, but it ain't real. We speak to the kids and the OGs. Organize, mobilize, be the change you wanna see. 415s bumping Hard Knock Radio. Brown Buffalo, all up in your stereo. And to the youth, live life like it's golden. Go dumb, go hard, but don't forget where you're going. We from the hood, so it's all to the good. Let us know this, what you're feeling is right. Let's get this understood. It's only one reason why we here today. We trying to make real music so the people can relate.
Learning from these hard knocks, slipping in these hard knocks, listening to hard knocks, questioning the poor guy. Learning through these hard knocks, living for this hip hop, listening to hard knocks. Learning from the hard knocks, living in these hard knocks, listening to hard knocks, questioning the hard guy. Learning through these hard knocks, living for this hip hop, listening to hard knocks, repping to the hard style.
Toxic prisons. Several years ago, the Workers' World newspaper published an article of mine entitled Jailhouse Environmentalist. It told the tale of a prisoner named Bryant Arroyo, a man who responded to the planned placement of a massive gas liquefaction plant right outside the gates of the state prison in Mahanoy in northeast Pennsylvania with action. First, Arroyo did his research. He went to the library and read the environmental impact statement. What he learned of the particulates and chemicals to be released by the plant concerned him even more. He went around the prison and talked to everybody, including the guards, explaining that they too would be exposed to the particulates, and if their families lived close enough, they also would be exposed. Arroyo began the organizing phase, and before long, letters began trickling into the local governing council protesting the plant. The trickle became a flood, and eventually, over 900 letters arrived there. The plant plan was canceled. Arroyo, a bilingual Puerto Rican, had won. When I met him, I told him he was the first jailhouse environmentalist I had ever met. Arroyo then enrolled in correspondence courses with a group known as Environmental Defense Fund to deepen his understanding of environmental law. For example, one thing Arroyo learned was that in Pennsylvania's Constitution, Article 1, Section 27, the following words are written: the people have a right to clean air. Several years ago, the Abolitionist Law Center of Pittsburgh issued a damning report on a Pennsylvania state prison situated right atop a toxic waste dump. The prison became a cancer hotspot, affecting prisoners and staff alike. It remains there today. And finally, what are prisons except sinks of negativity? What are they except places of mass pollution of the spirit, the mind, the psyche? The environment of prisons is one of oppression. We cannot ignore this truth. How can any good come from it? Perhaps that's why such an institution is plagued by recidivism, returnees to prison who cannot cope with home. Any other institution with such a record of malperformance would be shuttered because of such failure. Unfortunately, such is not the case with prison, which is still with us. Only a mass movement can transform this social reality. From Imprisoned Nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
Told me use my good sense. Common always looking for the good sense. Since we all got good in our essence. In the hood sense, we all good anyway. That's why you always hear another dollar another day. I see the day as a new beginning. Movement of the people, movement of the women. To get the earth spinning in the right direction. This movie of life sometimes might project. Scenes that don't seem serene. I like Palo Santo, put on Love Supreme and get into the being of the great I am. That's when I get to seeing just how great I am. Many, many times some mistakes I ran, but I'm just a cake, let me bake, goddamn. I pray I don't forsake my man, and whenever I fall on faith I land. Imperfections, resurrections, in the mirror staring at God's reflection, reflecting on my aggressions, on my progressions, on my obsessions. There's a lesson in not feeling less than, and seeing life itself as a blessing.
When we wash all our pain away, we say, oh my Lord. When we can't make it through the day, we pray, oh my Lord. Is a test coming to faith. We pray, oh my Lord. Will my people ever be safe in the land that takes us and breaks us? I can't be sure.
The jubilee of a newer me, giving my enemies something new to see. My community, they be fueling me. In the struggle of us, there's a unity. The moral universe, stay schooling me. Will the King of Kings really ruling me? I'm an instrument, stay in tune with me. This orchestrated by Kareem, some more booming me. If Agape had a Cupid, she'd be shooting me. This rap here is fierce eulogy. Escape rooms with glasses of wine, just another crutch for my brokenness. A term that I got from my therapist. As a black man, I feel I should be sharing this. In the hood, they say we crazy and we derelicts, but we need it for our kids and our marriages. The old folks say we don't do that, but taking care of self is the new black. Unconventional ways, unconditional ways. Meditation, mindfulness, it's just giving the praise. I'm in a phase, all I see is victory. You on that wave, then come and get with me. I only want what's meant for me, and say the things that's sent to me. In penitentiaries, I'm at the most enlightened. Finding the losses, heaven's excitement. I write with the force of a kid that wanted to be in the source, but that changed the course. I maintained the source and became a boss. I apologize if I came across as judgmental or self-righteous, cause in you, I see its likeness.
When we wash all our pain away, we say, pray, oh my Lord. Is the test coming to my fate? We pray, oh my Lord, will my people ever be safe in the land that takes us and breaks us? I can't be sure.
Hey, yo, what's up, people? This is Mixmaster Mike, Serial Wax Killer. You're tuned in to Hard Knock Radio.
This is Ruben Hurricane Carter. You're listening to Hard Knock Radio.
Hi, I'm Margaret Cho, and you're listening to Hard Knock Radio.
Check this out. This is Chuck D, Public Enemy Number One, and you are listening to Hard Knock Radio.
This is Danny Glover, and I want you to listen to what I listen to, Hard Knock Radio.
This is Jessica Hagedorn, and I'm on Hard Knock Radio because I want to be.
What's up? This is Zion I.
And you're listening to Hard Knock Radio.
Monday through Friday, and it's from 4 to 5 p.m. knocking hard in your area.
Free up your mind, y'all.
Hard Knock. Turn the speakers in your car up. Quality program. Turn in for the real talk. Don't stop. EMN at it again. Sandman, Daddy Man. Chris Juwan Kim. Yeah. Innovation. Stimulating ill conversation. Anything else is just imitation. Simulation. Step into the zone. The Bay Area zone. Hard Knock Radio. Let's go. Big shout out to Nita and Davey D. Yeah, right. Feel me? Yeah. Honing down at Hard Knock Radio.
Hard Knock Radio.
Kinda crazy though. Oakland stand up.
Yeah. Stand up.
Ensemble Big Night Wolves.
Yeah. Kansas City.
Yeah.
Bellevue. Come on.
Check out.
Why every novice think they hard knock when they ain't going all in and ain't paid the cost of the fee? Hating that they made they beats trying to eat to the belly from the steel gray beats. Say please. Maybe they'll save you a seat at the table with a great bread making a speech. Say some peace to the lovers I name with a please. Hey, there's some shade on your name in the street. Let's go. Hey, David D.
Real Talk Radio.
You and I rocking with the best. In the West,
West Coast, Monday through Friday.
Sing it, Chris.
East Coast.
You are tuned in to KBOO Community Radio. The time is 7:56. Coming up next is a rebroadcast of From the Grassroots with your host, Miss Lenita Duke. If you're enjoying all this programming here on your community radio station, I'm gonna put a little appeal out right now. If you have an extra dollar to give to KBOO right now because you have that privilege, I'm going to only put that, if you only have the privilege to be able to let go of literally $1 or $2 right now, I'm going to ask you to go to our website, to kboo.fm/donate, and show your support for all the programmers who are producing from home. Even when you're hearing a rebroadcast, it's everybody going home and editing and helping us. It's actually quite a bit of work just to rebroadcast an old episode, and we really appreciate all those volunteers who are putting in all those hours to help us edit and keep the airwaves going and working on their shows and calling in remotely. It has been quite a process. Can't believe it's been one week since we had to shut down the station, but our airwaves have been going every single day, 24 hours a day for that last week. We've had content from our programmers. We've had our staff working nonstop trying to make sure that we are still bringing you content that is relevant, that is important to you. I want to give big props to our program director, our interim program director right now, Asia Hawthorne, and public affairs director, Tammy Habteus, And Althea Billings, our news director, they've been working so hard to help all of our volunteers transition over to becoming remote volunteers, because we're not willing to stop this radio. We're not willing to stop this station just because we're all locked indoors these days, or choosing to stay inside because we are trying to help with our community. It doesn't mean that you can't still be part of the KBOO community, because these days, at least here at KBOO, we believe that it is so incredibly important that we keep these airwaves going, because during a time of crisis or confusion or emergencies, we know that's when you need us the most. And so if you have that extra dollar, you are privileged enough to have that extra dollar, I'm going to ask that you support KBOO at kboo.fm/give. But if you don't, if that dollar is really precious to you because you know that hard times are coming and you need to hold on to that dollar, you keep that dollar. You keep that dollar because you need it. I know a lot of people do. I know I'm scared watching the economy right now. But KBOO is free to listen to, and you keep listening to it. But for those who are privileged, we say, hey, that's who we are. We're a community who comes together and we say, hey, I got that extra dollar. I'm going to help out because I want to make sure that this is available to everyone in the community this time, right now. Okay, that's me being done with my appeal pitch here. So thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for those who have contributed. Thank you for those who haven't, but support us anyways. Everyone is important. Everyone's an important listener. But yeah, we're a listener-supported station, and I know a lot of nonprofits are appealing for your dollars these days. So if you have that privilege, but if you don't, hold on to that. Hold on to a lot of things these days, people. Hold on to hope and calm. At least that's where I'm trying to be at. All right, well, it's 8 o'clock, so let's get From the Grassroots started.